Blog Talk Radio.
Man resides in the brightly lit realm he assumes to be reality. But there is, unperceived by most, a netherworld. A place just as real, but not so clearly lit. An eerie side.
Yep, the eerie side of life right here on Eerie House Oldie Tiny Radio. Welcome one, welcome all. Hi, Fogsbane. Good old Bob in the chat, as always, it seems. We've got... great show for you tonight. This is Dale Kay from Spook Show, and I am accompanied by
Dave Beagle from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and I'm here with,
as I closely read my name tag, it says Gar the Ghoul, blah blah
to you all.
Mm-hmm.
As the man says. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we decided to heck with it. We're going on vacation.
Yep. And yet we're still here.
It's a staycation.
It's a staycation. It's a staycation.
Yep. Who can afford to cross the street nowadays? Jiminy Crickets.
Hey, I got gas for under $4 a gallon the other day.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought that? Who'd have thought I'd be saying what a great deal that is?
Yeah.
I almost got gas today, but I would have been late for the show, so I didn't. So tomorrow I'll find out. But, yeah, I haven't gotten gas in like a month and a half or something like that.
You count yourself lucky. Count yourself lucky.
Well, it's only, you know, I hit once every 30 days or something like that. I don't drive a lot.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm glad I'm working at home. My commute, I calculate, would be costing me about $100 a week. $100 a week.
Bucks money?
Yes.
Hang on, wake up now. That guy? Okay.
That's a long commute, but doggone.
Wait, repeat that again? What was it?
I wonder how bus fares have fared.
I know. That's curious, yeah.
Well, now that we've cheered everybody
probably,
up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I stuck my tongue out.
I could probably
out
get a free bus pass.
I stuck my thumb out, and the bus wouldn't stop that way. I go,
now, you have to show me,
you know,
Dave.
Well, sure.
You have to show me.
Well, I rolled my pants. I rolled my pants up.
Just
one or
problem. Who knows?
Dale, how long did you say your commute was?
It was close to an hour.
An hour? How many miles?
About 50-some-odd miles. 55 miles. Sometimes I would drive halfway and take a bus or the Rapid.
Dude, you can't get a job in town? Wow, 50 miles.
I'm not sticking my hands under no cows unless I got to.
Alrighty then.
Or out there building sheds with Zed. My zip code is EIEIO, if you get my drift. Anyhow, so what do I have to go on vacation from?
just don't drift too far, Dale. We got a show to do.
No, I won't. Why do people take their dogs on vacation?
I would, if I had
one.
What are they on vacation from?
The dog?
Yeah.
Guarding the house. They're supposed to be, you know, they got a job.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Cats don't have a job. They have no need for vacation.
Cats, yeah. I got nothing for a cat. I love cats. Cats are amazing, beautiful, just gorgeous creatures. But as far as, well, no, okay, no. No, you can get them to work. They can catch mice, maybe bugs. But they can definitely catch mice. If you have a mice or a rodentia problem, there you go. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mr. Cat, get on it. Because the dog is kind of like, what's that? You know, and he might you know, make friends with it. But the cat? Mm-mm.
Yeah. No.
So you got cats for rodentia and whatever. And the dog is like, woof, woof, get out of this house or whatever. So, yeah. They both have a job. So, yeah, everybody needs to go on vacation.
Not the cat. Cat has nothing to go on vacation from. They have, other than the mouse thing, which I do not have mice, they have no practical purpose. They're just lovable family members. That's it.
No, maybe, but Dale, maybe the reason you have no mice is because cat.
He lives too far from town for mice to be there. He lives too far from town for mice to be there. Yeah. Yeah.
What? The mice have to, like, take the bus to get to your house?
No, I actually had
they're still waiting on us.
It's a new development. We had mice, like, the first couple of years, and then after that, they disappeared.
Because of cats.
Yep.
The ecosystem would have to change somehow. Yeah.
I don't know.
Crazy.
Got a lot
when was the last time you guys went on vacation?
What's the vacation?
Hmm? Yeah.
What's the vacation?
When was the last time? I saw Dave like 16 years ago. But that was for a funeral or something.
I want to say about it.
No, but truly.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say truly a last real vacation I took probably was when I took my wife and I took my sons down to Disney World, and my oldest was a senior in high school, and now he's been out of college for about 15 years now. So it literally has been about 16 years since I took a quote unquote real vacation.
I want to say about
so you're not including the Florida visit as a vacation.
No, I was down there for my in-laws when they passed away and stuff. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't say going to a funeral is a vacation.
Yeah.
Until you go to the Cracker Barrel.
For me, it was about 25 years ago. I was working in a sales environment, and I had earned an expensive paid trip to the Bahamas.
Whoa.
For like, I don't know, 3-4 days. Something like that. So me and the missus went to the Bahamas.
Where did the kids go?
Kids? Damn.
Don't you have kids?
Damn. No, her parents were both alive then.
Oh, okay.
Grandma and grandpa's. I knew something was...
I knew it was
the bitterness.
It was way too quiet in the house when you came home. Kids. You just wandered off. Last time I went on vacation was before pandemic, like months or days before pandemic. And I had to get permission from another adult to get on an airplane to fly because I made the mistake of saying, I want help to get from point A to point B. They were like, well, what's wrong? And they started to doubt my sanity.
Well, that's you shouldn't go to the airport dressed up as Gargoyle.
that might have been off-putting.
Combined with what you said would explain their behavior.
Yeah. The heck is that? Who beeped? What beeped? Something beeped.
When was the last time you took a vacation? Before that?
I had to be with the missus like 30 years ago. 40 years ago.
I knew it. I knew it was something like that.
That'll kill your taste for vacation, huh?
I'm kind of in the cat category. What do I do that I need to take a vacation from? You know.
You're having fun. That's what I'm starting to think. I have more fun around the house and doing stuff right here on Erie House Radio where we play old-time radio programs.
Whole lot of radio.
Whole lot of radio.
Whole lot of radio.
Three tails in an interesting combination tonight.
Yeah, we have Crisis and Mystery House and
Lights
Out.
Lights Out. Yes. Yep. Lights Out.
Yeah. So we're kind of all over the place, but all about vacation. And where shall we start this evening?
Just to toss out. The creepiest one is Lights Out.
That's the creepiest one, yeah.
I'll save that for last.
Save that creepy one for last.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
save that one for last. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The uncreepiest one is Mystery House, I think.
We'll go with that. Still a good story.
There you go. All right.
I like the title, Vacation from Life.
Oh, mine says murder, but okay.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out in a minute, huh?
A vacation from murder or a vacation from life. Either one. Hell's murder.
Either or. Pick your pick.
Yep. But I bet somebody knows the original broadcast date.
Yes, it's July 12th, 1946.
A.D. Stardate
Mystery.
39.6. Mystery House. That strange publishing firm owned by Dan and Barbara Glenn, where each new novel is acted out by the Mystery House staff before it is accepted for publication. Mystery House.
Okay, kids, you all have your parts for tonight's story. Let's see, what's the title, Bobby?
It's called Vacation from Death. The story of what happens when a detective tries to take a vacation.
Yeah, that's right. There are plenty of good characters, too. I hope you boys will make the most of your parts.
I'll say there are good things in this script, Mr. Glenn. Listen to this.
Okay, places, everybody. Set the scene, will you, Tom?
Vacation from Death. Tonight's story opens in a boathouse. Skip Allen, the proprietor, is greeting Jeff Canfield, a customer he's apparently glad to see.
Ah, you're late, Mr. Canfield. Mr. McCrae's been getting impatient.
Yeah, well, let him get impatient, Skip. John McCrae's going to have to slow down plenty if he's going to keep with me.
Sounds like sense to me, Mr. Canfield. Most of you city folks do everything too fast. That's why you all die so young. Why, I figured I was just a stripling when I was your age.
Yeah. Well, Skip, nobody will ever convict you of speeding, will they? Where's the boat?
right off here. There you go. McCrae's got the sweetest little houseboat on the river. You and him are in for the finest vacation you ever had. Nothing on the river to bother you. Not even a policeman.
Good. Well, I'll see you, Skip. Yeah. Better not keep McCrae waiting.
Yeah, so long, Mr. Canfield.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah? Who? Jeff Canfield? Yeah, just a minute. I can still catch him, I think. Hey, Mr. Canfield, telephone.
I'll tell him I've left, Skip.
Well, it sounds like it's important. You better answer.
All right. Hey, Skip, you haven't got a telephone hooked up on that houseboat, have you?
No, I'm afraid that's a little out of my line.
Yeah, give me the darn phone. Yeah? Yeah, it's Canfield. What? Now, look, I gave you my answer on that before I left town. Yeah, I'm on a vacation. That's right. No more murders. Well, there are plenty of other good detectives around. Try one of them. Flamand, for instance. Oh, I'm sorry. It's still no. I'm on a vacation.
If it doesn't take a detective to deduce that a houseboat is just about the most peaceful way to spend a vacation that man ever invented.
Oh, well, you don't have to sell me, John. I'm happy. Just let me sit here on the deck and drink in the silence. We've just about started, but, peace. It's wonderful.
Not even thinking about that telephone call you got on the dock?
Uh-uh.
Maybe, but my hunch is that by the time we get to where this river empties into the Mississippi, You're going to be plenty bored with peace and quiet. Murder is in your blood, Jeff.
Not this, baby. I've solved my last case. I've had all the death I can stomach.
I hope you mean that.
Huh? Wait a minute. You say that a little too vehemently. What have you got up your sleeve?
Well, if you must know, the real reason I invited you on this trip was to persuade you to take charge of the protection of my plants. A $1 million industry needs the smartest protective system available. The kind of a system you could set up.
John, I might have known you had an angle when you pitched up this vacation idea.
Jeff, when a man gets to my time in life, he begins to think about an heir.
Well, don't blame me because you're not married, John. What's that got to do
with... The whole business ties together, Jeff.
Whole business?
Yes. You and I on a vacation together. My offer to make you chief of my protective system and my desire for an heir.
Well, I don't get it.
That's what I like about you. It wouldn't occur to you.
What wouldn't occur to me?
The fact that I want you to inherit the control of my business.
What?
Exactly. I'm an egocentric old man, Jeff. I want my plants to go on after I'm dead, just as they have. But that's going to take a smart man.
Well, the woods are full of smart young men.
Not smart enough?
You want me to come into your business now and then be ready to take over when you cash in your chips, huh?
Exactly. Why not?
Well, that's a spot for a relative, not for a private dick like me.
No, Jeff, relatives are out. Haven't got any close ones anyway. But the important thing is, I've made up my mind about you. I may as well say I don't change once my mind's made up, no matter what the odds against me.
What do you bet?
What do you mean?
Well, I've got a hunch that you will change. Hey, now, don't tell me we're going to have to work on this trip. What's the matter with the motor?
I don't like that sound either. Can't be much wrong with it, though. I had old Skip Allen overhaul the whole bolt before we shoved off.
Well, I don't know anything about motors, but my guess is that we're in for trouble.
Well, maybe we ought to pull into that lagoon up there. Take a look.
Yeah. I hope you know how to monkey with motors, because I'm not going to budge from this deck chair. I came on this ride for a vacation.
No, Jeff.
Well, here's your lagoon. Here's a guy who looks like he knows all about motors. You see the guy sleeping in the rowboat over there?
Oh, you in the rowboat.
Dead to the world. Get this boxcar in close to him. Maybe he'll hear you.
Can't get too much closer. Don't know how deep this lagoon is.
Well, you're coming up on him now. Hey. Hey, wake up, you. Hey. He's really sleeping.
Look at him. Look at that sunburn. He's been out here for more than a little while. Hey, wake up.
He's got the right attitude. Doesn't give a darn for anything. Go on, wake him up, John.
Not going to budge, huh, Jim?
Oh, no, not me. I am as comfortable as he is.
Well, I'll have to go over the side, then. Give me a hand here.
Yeah.
I'll go down the rope ladder.
Well, pretty frisky for an old man, John.
Hey, Jeff!
Huh? What's the matter? Can't you wake him?
Jeff, this man isn't asleep. He's dead. Thing we hadn't gone too far from Skip Allen's landing. Here we are now.
Good thing. What do you mean a good thing? Finding this guy dead's ruined my vacation.
Hello, Skip! Skip Allen!
Hello. What's the trouble out there?
Skip, we're coming back in. Everything clear?
Sure. What's the matter? Here. Grab this line when I toss it to you.
Right. Good throw, Skip. Pull us in, will you?
What's up, Mr. McRae?
Found a dead man, Skip, in that lagoon just around the bend. Looks like he rented one of your boats.
A dead man? In my boat? Oh, you can't be serious.
I'll help us get the body ashore, will you, Skip?
What?
All right, Jeff. I've got his feet.
All right, now. Easy does it.
Weren't you fooling, were you? Here, I got it. Let's bring him into the boathouse.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. How about right here,
huh? Right here, all right.
Okay. I want to take another look at him before we call in the coroner.
There doesn't seem to be a mark on him. Suppose he had a heart attack?
Well, could be. But I got one of those pesky hunches that...
Yeah? What do you mean, Mr. Canfield?
I told you, Jeff, you've got murder in your blood. If you really want a vacation...
Yeah, I know. It's just my suspicious nature. Only... Skip, how many times have you heard of a man dying alone on the water from a heart attack?
Well... Never heard of that, Mr. Canfield.
Now, you see, Skip's been on the river 50 years. Haven't you, Skip?
Oh, more than that. Never been off the river all my life.
I still say, Jeff, you love murder. You make it up, even where it isn't.
Here, roll him over. Let me take a look at him.
Right. You ought to remember his face, Skip. Probably one of the summer cottages around your place.
No. Never laid eyes on him before.
Anybody working for you, Skip? I mean, anybody who might have rented this man one of your boats?
No, nope, I'm here by myself. Never leave the place. Even sleep here. And I know I ain't seen this guy before.
But the boat had your mark on it, unmistakably.
That's right. Blue letters, S.A., and a number 38.
38? Well, that ain't right. 38's still here, tied up to the dock.
You sure of that, Skip? There wasn't any question about that number, was there, John?
I thought it said 38. Why worry about it? You still haven't any reason to think the man was murdered. I say forget it. Let's get back to our houseboat cruise. Skip can turn the body over.
We're in it now, John. Might as well stick around and answer the coroner's questions, whether it's murder or not.
Hiya, Skip. Oh. What you doing?
Oh, hello, Tubby. This is Tubby Wilkins, just one of the young loafers around here.
Hey, what do you get off calling me a loafer, Skipper?
Why, you never did a day's work, did you? Here you are, over 20 years old.
I guess why, Johnny. More money than you. Yeah. Hey, what's this? A stiff.
You ever see this man before, Tubby? Take a good look at him. You know him?
No. I mean, yeah, I seen him.
Where did you see him?
Well, it was... Well, why don't you ask Skipper? He knows him.
What?
He must know him. The guy rented one of Skip's boats.
Yeah, when was this?
What are you talking about, Tubby?
Early this morning. I was out in my own boat, and I saw this guy come and talk to Skipper. Then I seen him take one of Skip's boats.
Why, that ain't true.
What were you doing out then? Fishing?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I was fishing.
I never seen you with so much as a string in a bent safety pin.
What?
Fishing. Why didn't you tell him what you was really doing on the river?
Now, wait a minute, Skip. What's this all about?
Stubby, see what he tells you. He never went fishing in his life, but he spends every night on the river.
You shut up.
He's a runner. Goes down every night and brings up stolen goods, which he delivers to a fence.
What's that got to do with this dead man?
Nothing, see?
I don't know, but I do know he's lying in his teeth when he says I rented a boat to this guy.
Never mind, Skip. What about it, Tubby? You still haven't told us who this guy is.
You didn't ask me.
Now, look, don't get smart. If you know who he is, tell us and quick.
Well, all I know is I seen him drive up with some woman and stop at the Porter Cottage last night. Then this morning I seen him in the boat.
Well, what's this Porter Cottage?
It's one they rent. And people come and stay for a week or so.
Where is it?
Right down here, about 500 yards.
Well, let's go down and see the woman.
I seen her drive away. You won't find her at the cottage.
Well, maybe not, but I'll find something. Something that'll lead me to the answer. The answer to a murder. It's the Porter Place, Skip.
Yeah, this is it. Looks as if nobody was here, all right.
I'll take a look anyway. Yeah. While I'm doing that, you'd better run over and find out what you can from Mrs. Porter. She ought to know the name of anybody who rents her car.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. Mostly these folks that want an overnight place, they just drive in and pay cash in advance. They won't have to keep no records that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, see what you can find out anyway. I'll be here when you get back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Canfield.
A great way to spend a vacation.
Thank you. Oh, what will happen? You'll find out. Just stick around for more Eerie House Radio.
I think you'll get some aspirin. I think that's what'll happen.
Yeah. He's gonna need it. So we were all wrong. It's vacation from death.
Right. Yes.
Crazy. That's perfect.
Where's my phone? Okay.
I give up. What did you do to your phone?
My phone. I don't know where it is.
Call yourself and see if you get a busy signal.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay.
I called. My phone is so old, I called myself when I got the dead letter office.
Oh, boy.
That's an old phone. That's an old phone.
That's, we'll give that to you, Dave.
Yep. So, you know, I like to keep myself mentally engaged. I decided I was going to buy a jigsaw puzzle. And it said 3 to 5 years on it. So I thought, okay, come on. I took it home. And
so how long did it take you to do it then?
6 months.
How long did it take you to do it?
6 months.
Six months. There you go.
Yeah, it was easier than... It said 3 to 5 years. I figured 6 months. I set the bar on that one.
I can't go down that low. If I did, I couldn't get back up again.
Limbo, man. Limbo. Lower, man. Limbo good. Limbo left. Limbo right. Limbo CW in the house. Welcome, fine lady.
Is she? Where?
Right here.
Where?
Here.
Is it me?
There.
Am I here?
You're here.
I'm here.
Paul Frere.
I'm here.
Where is your hair on a pair, Paul Frere? Hello, CW. Blay.
Oh. Blay, Frere Jacques. Blay. Hey, Gar. Hey, Dave. Hey, Dale.
Hello,
everybody. Hello. Hello, chat room. Hello.
CW in the eerie hizzy. Whatever that
means. Wow. That's an entrance. Somebody knows how to make it.
Thank you all. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Well, I'll be here all week. That's right. That's what you're doing.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All week.
So, yeah.
Admittedly, I'm not as startling as a screaming goat, but I try.
We don't even know where that guy is. He was around here earlier today, and there he is. Darn guy, get out of here, goat!
Oh, there he goes.
Darn goat!
I, for one, like the goat.
He needs to take a vacation.
Yeah. This goat's okay though.
That's our topic, and since you're here, before we get to the conclusion of Mystery House's vacation from death. Have you gone on any good vacations, CW, of late? Or when was your last vacation?
My last vacay was on 2016. And one of the best vacations I ever had was a Halloween. Yes, I agree. It was screamingly great. And this is before you were cohabitating with Dave and Gar way back when you had another partner, and I called in. Yeah, I called in on a Halloween night.
Yep.
I was vacationing in the mountains, way up in them there hills. And it was the best. The skies were, there was no light pollution. The skies were absolutely crystal clear. It was just encrusted with stars. I can't tell you how many shooting stars I saw. Best vacation ever.
And you spent some of it with Creepy Castle. That was cool.
I did. I called you on... Actually, Halloween.
I think I kind of recall this.
Yeah, I helped with a charity haunted house that year.
Ooh.
And I was traveling back, and instead of driving all the way in one fell swoop, I decided to pull over and go into a hotel, treated myself to a nice hotel, and decided to give you guys a jingle. Say happy Halloween. Hey.
Wow,
that
had to be, 2016. That's about right, 6 years ago. Wow. Fly times.
Skippers.
Fly times.
Anyway,
as the man says.
Best vacation.
All right. Well, we're on vacation
here.
Yeah,
I thought Mickey. I just was saying, I thought Mickey Mouse was a cool vacation, but oh well.
The mouse.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I did vacation with the mouse on two occasions, but that mouse is too rich for my blood. I'm sorry. That mouse is a true bloodsucker.
Yeah.
The California mouse or the Orlando mouse? Which mouse?
Both. Both.
Both.
California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Florida mouse and California mouse. I don't care to have anything to do with the Asian mouse or European mouse or any other mouse.
There's a French one.
Oh, the French mouse. The French mouse, yes.
Oh, the French mouse. Oh, oui.
The French mouse.
La fromage. Give us all your money. Give us your money. Or we shall put you on the guillotine. It's a small world after all. Give us your money.
They'll just surrender. Get tough with them. They'll surrender.
Yeah.
Is Dieflater Mouse, that's German for bad, isn't it?
Yes, Dieflater Mouse.
Fledermaus.
Yeah, that was one of the ticks of cohorts. The Fledermaus, American made. American made was Wonder Woman, and the Fledermaus was Batman.
Yeah. The live action show was hilarious. The cartoon, loved that too.
It was great.
It was.
And we got good stuff for tonight. Let's wrap up our
show. We do. Hold on, radio.
From Mystery House, Vacation from Death. We will be back. I promise.
And now, Act Two of Vacation from Death. Detective Jeff Canfield, declaring it was all through with murder, started off on a vacation cruise with his millionaire friend John McCrae, only to find a man lying dead in a rowboat. Trying to identify the dead man, Jeff has been knocked out. As he comes to, he finds Skip Allen shaking him.
Here, Mr. Canfield.
Okay. Oh, who slugged me? Hey.
It's me, Mr. Canfield.
Huh? Oh, hello, Skip.
Yeah.
Oh, my head. Oh, that was some buster I got laid out.
Oh, well, yeah, are you all right?
Yeah, I'll live, I guess, but...
Who hit you?
That's what I'm going to find out.
Let me help you up.
Wait a minute. Who's that?
Well, what are you doing here? Who are you, anyway?
A minute there. Who are you?
My name's Norton, and I'll thank you to get out of my cottage.
Oh, she must be...
Is it true that you and your husband rented this place last night from Mrs. Porter?
Well, I don't see that that's any of your business. Now, will you leave, or will I have
just
to...
Just a minute.
I don't know any excuse for breaking into a private cottage.
When you've answered that telephone, perhaps I can explain.
Hello? Oh, hello. No, just some unexpected callers. I don't know who they are. I'll get rid of them, all right. Sure. What? Tonight? Oh, but I thought... Oh... All right. Yes. Yes, you know I do. Later. Goodbye.
Mrs. Norton?
Now, what is it you want?
You know where your husband is now?
Why, fishing. Went out early this morning.
My name's Canfield, Mrs. Norton. I'm a detective. There's a possibility that the man we found...
The man you found?
Yeah. I want you to come with me, Mrs. Norton. The man we think is your husband is...
You mean he's dead? Jerry's dead? No. No, it can't be Jerry.
In my boathouse, ma'am.
Will you come with me, Mrs. Norton? Sorry it had to be this way, Mrs. Norton, but he had no identification, nothing except his fishing equipment and this druggist's box labeled salt tablets.
Well, he always used them. He got himself.
Isn't a mark on him except that intense sunburn.
Well, it must have been his heart. He complained about it, but I never thought it was serious.
He had a bad heart?
Yes, he always complained.
Complained about your affairs with other men?
What do you mean? You can't...
Can't eavesdrop? I'm sorry, Mrs. Norton. You made it impossible for me not to overhear what you said on the telephone. Who are you talking to? We know your husband was dead then.
That's none of your business.
Perhaps not. But when a man's murdered, a lot of unimportant things become the business of a detective. Now, who...
I don't have to answer your question.
No? Well, maybe you refuse to answer because you know too much about the murder of your husband.
He wasn't murdered. You have no business...
He died under mysterious circumstances. And until that mystery is cleared up, it's the business of a detective to investigate. Are you going to tell me? Or...
I'll tell you nothing.
Oh, what the...
Irene, run. Get out of here while I get him down there. Oh, let go of my arm.
I'll break your arm, Tubby.
Okay. Okay, you win.
All right. Now, no funny business. You've got a lot of questions to answer.
Lay off, Irene. That's all I care about.
Irene.
Yeah, Mrs. Norton.
What's she to you, Tubby?
You think I'm going to tell you? You're crazy.
I want an answer, Tubby.
Try and get one.
All right, you ask for it.
No.
Now, do you want some more?
No. No. I'll talk.
All right. Now, what do you know about Irene Norton?
I don't know nothing. I just know her, that's all.
You knew her well enough to call her Irene.
Well, I knew her husband.
Down on the dock, you told me you didn't know him, that you just saw him once.
Oh, sure. I was afraid you might try to pin it on me.
Pin what on you? I didn't ask you to do anything except identify a dead man. Now, you know more than you're admitting. Now, come on out with it.
All I know is he was the guy that gave me my dough.
Yeah? You know more than you're telling, Cubby. And if you aren't guilty of Jerry Norton's murder, you better talk and talk fast. Because if you don't talk now, I'm afraid the murderer will see to it that you don't talk at all.
The houseboat's okay again, Jeff. Whatever was wrong with the motor's been taken care of by Skip, and we're all set to push off again.
Not me, John.
Huh? What do you mean?
I've got a little unfinished business to attend to yet.
You don't still have that crazy idea that Norton was murdered, do you?
I do, and it's not crazy.
But you yourself admitted that there wasn't a mark on his body, no evidence, no nothing.
All right, call it a hunch. But I've got $1,000 that says I can prove it was murder.
That's a lot of money to put on a hunch, but if you're crazy enough to do it, I'll take you up on it. Providing you don't take too long to prove it. I'm still taking that vacation trip, remember?
And I'll take it with you. In 1 hour.
What?
Yeah. I'll call everybody together in 1 hour. Skip Allen, Tubby, and Irene Norton. And I'll have my murderer then with proof.
I still say you're crazy. I'll be waiting on my houseboat for you and your $1,000. It'll give me something to spend on my vacation.
Yeah, over on the dock, Skip.
Yeah. Here we are. Here's Tubby. Threatened him with a gun, the young skunk.
What do you want with me? I told you I didn't do
nothing. Never mind, Tubby, never mind. You'll see why, won't you?
Where's the woman? Hasn't Mrs. Norton showed up yet?
No, not yet.
But you said everybody was to meet here at 10 o'clock. It's past that already.
Yeah, I know, Skip. Maybe she isn't going to show up.
Well, I ain't going to stay here either, see? You can't make me.
Quiet, Tubby. We're going to find out who murdered Jerry Norton. Now, you wouldn't want to miss that, would you?
I don't know nothing about it. I ain't going to hang around and get framed or something.
Got a guilty conscience, Tubby?
Now, listen, you...
Well, what are you going to do, Mr. Canfield?
Chasse la femme, as the French say, Skipper.
What's that?
We're going to find the woman in this case. You got a motorboat ready to go?
Oh, yeah, sure, right here. But why...
Get the motor started, Skip. We're following Mrs. Norton.
Following? I thought that...
Earlier tonight, I saw her take off in a motorboat.
In the dark? Well, where would she be going in the dark?
Well, my hunch is that she's meeting somebody. Somebody who may know something about the murder of her husband. Get in the boat, Tubby.
Why don't you leave Irene alone? What do you think
of... Get in.
Okay.
All right. All ready, Miss Canfield?
Ready. Shove off, Skip.
Boat yet, Mr. Canfield.
Yeah, and the moonlight's bright enough so you could pick out a piece of driftwood on the river.
Just keep on down the river, Skip. I have a hunch that we'll be seeing something very shortly. Yeah, over there.
What do you mean? I don't see no motorboat, just old John McCrae's houseboat.
Maybe. Head over toward it.
Well, okay, if you say so.
You better shut off the motor, Skip. Huh? Getting close enough so they can hear it.
Yeah, but what do you...
Cut it. All right, quiet now.
Hey, look.
Jumping tadpoles. was Mrs. Norton's motorboat.
Yeah, tied to the stern of the houseboat.
Uh-huh. Irene Norton didn't show up for our rendezvous because she had a little date to meet John McCrae out here. I'll hit us right for the stern, Skip.
Yeah?
I want to drift right up alongside the houseboat.
Uh-huh. You aiming to board her?
Right. And be ready for anything when we do. I'll take the lead. I'll have my gun handy.
Easy.
All right, ready now. Let's go. Skip, you go last. Tubby in between us.
Okay, Mr. Canfield. Easy. Easy.
Okay, Skip?
Yep,
that does it. What now? Do we just walk in and say, surprise?
Shut up, Tubby, shut up. You'll find out soon enough. Should be in the cabin right near the stern here.
You should never have come out here. I told you to stay put until...
Until I get picked up by that dick. Ha! I wasn't born yesterday, John. I know you were baiting it.
I'm going to rush him. Now lay low. There may be some shooting. Now!
All right. Don't try reaching for that gun again, John. Next time I won't aim for your arm.
You'll pay for this!
Oh, no. I think the state will be glad to give you first aid for your wounds.
The state?
Yeah, Skip. My friend, John McCrae, is Norton's murderer.
But that's ridiculous. I had nothing but...
Okay, try to run out on me, will you? Sure, he's the murderer. He murdered my husband. I had nothing to do with it.
Thank you, Mrs. Norton, but I knew that all along.
But you tried to hang it on me and her.
No, Tubby, you're wrong. I knew you had something to do with it, but I knew you were too dumb to figure it out for yourself.
What?
Yeah. You gave Jerry Norton the boat he had, didn't you?
Well, sure. Mr. McCrae said Norton was a friend of his. He gave me $50.
Uh-huh. And you also gave Norton the salt tablets?
McCrae said they were from Irene. Said Norton always used them.
Well, apparently he did use salt tablets. However, these tablets were poison.
Poison?
That's right. When I picked up the box Norton had in his pocket, my finger touched the powder which had shaken off the tablets. And my sense of taste did the rest. All I had to do was discover who'd bought salt tablets, and I was reasonably sure who'd poisoned your husband. It turns out that my good friend, John McCrae...
This is asinine. You can't prove...
You gave yourself away when you started shooting, John.
Well, what about the woman?
Well, Skip, McCrae's been having an affair with Irene Norton for quite a while. When Jerry Norton began to get in the way, McCrae figured that he could eliminate Jerry and have Irene to himself. And he would have succeeded, too.
Yeah, but it was McCrae that found Norton.
Sure. He figured if I was with him when we found Norton apparently dead from sunstroke... There wouldn't be any investigation.
Hmm.
He knew that Norton complained about his heart, so he knew he wouldn't arouse Irene's suspicions.
Wow.
But he made one mistake.
Yeah? What? Sounds pretty foolproof to me.
He thought a detective could take a vacation. He should have known you can't take a vacation from death.
Today keeps, I don't know, bad things away. vacation from death, that was.
From something, yeah. Death or life or something, yeah.
A mystery or death. Or a moral.
Yeah.
Mystery House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
When fishing, accessories include a pole, a hook, and a fish. But nobody said it had to be done on the water. Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Long version.
Oh.
The extended neck of Slim.
The extended neck. Yeah. You know, the 12-inch
okay, guy, version.
As, yeah, the 12-inch record song. I forget who did
yep.
that.
Yep.
You know, I've heard of Slim Whitman in my life. I never thought that I would ever go, ooh, I love that song. But when they paired it with Aliens, it worked, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It did.
I think the head exploding thing was priceless.
That was a very funny, star-studded movie.
It was,
who could
yeah.
blame
I mean, yeah, freaking everybody was in that.
Yeah.
That was yeah.
Some
that was
people,
like a
some people's choice.
Yeah, yeah. Jack Nicholson was in there what two or three times, different
yeah.
roles. He was the president. He was a cowboy.
Yep. He had at least.
There's many people there. You could have thought they could afford it to different people.
Yep.
Right. And Tom Jones was in there?
Yeah.
Yep.
What's new, Pussycat? Yes,
yeah.
Yep, and
Danny DeVito?
Jackie Brown, Pam Grier. Yay for
yep.
Pam Grier,
yes.
Jackie Brown. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, I mean, they filled that movie up with folks, I tell you. Great
I
stuff.
Went to one of the Horror Hound conventions, and when Pam Grier was there, oh, my God, you should have seen the line of people that wanted her autograph. It was amazing.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I wow. would camp out for the first person in line for an autograph for her. She is fabulous. I mean, she
yeah.
was in Scream, Blackula Scream.
Mm. Oh, she was? Was she the
yes.
wife?
Yes.
Sweet.
And
I was just talking to someone
yes,
about that.
It was all about me.
There you go. Chicken Man.
Love her.
I saw recently where a lot of the people at the Comic Cons are going and they're seeing Lindsay Wagner, who was the Bionic Woman in the 70s. Such a sweet,
yeah.
dear lady. I tell you, just everybody just has really good things to say about her.
That's nice. I wouldn't mind
yeah.
meeting her either.
Yeah. I don't have a bucket list because I don't have a bucket.
I got a bucket, but it has a big hole in it.
There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, a hole in the bucket.
I have a bucket, but it has a hole, and I had to hock it, so there it is.
There's a hole in the hock the bucket. Hock the bucket.
We got two
bucket.
Whole more radio shows to go, don't you
whole
know?
Whole lot of radio.
Whole lot of radio. Or, yeah, or whole lot of radio.
Okay. Well, I
we
only have three. We decided one is
me.
Going to be last. All the bad
yes.
things.
Oh,
so we decided one's going to be
crisis.
Last. So we...
Before we have a time crisis,
yeah.
we ought to move on to that one. It's called The Last Resort.
We ought to just do that.
Last Resort. Yes. Crisis.
Do we have a broadcast
crisis.
Date for Crisis?
We
last
do.
Resort.
April. No, wait. January, February, March. April. Yes. April 4th. 1974. Yes, I counted on my fingers.
Episode number 20.
If you could, for once, have anything in the world that you wanted, and as much of it as you wanted, that would be a dream come true, wouldn't it? Imagine that you're one of the lucky ones to win just such a treat.
a chance to indulge yourself to your heart's content, to wallow in whatever your particular passion might be, where anything goes, and the more the merrier. If that sounds good to you, then I invite you to join us in a moment for a bacchanalia that would make Bacchus himself turn green with envy. As Crisis brings you a slightly unusual tale, a study in amusement of a most unusual sort, in a story we call The Last Resort, Act One, in just a moment.
A little attention to me, but oh no, even on our vacation you have to ogle the chickie.
Jane, will you can it, or am I gonna have
hey
to...
pardon me folks, but I noticed you were on the same plane. You wouldn't by any chance be carrying one of these invitations, would you?
Let's see. Yeah, you a prize winner too, huh?
Yeah, you sure am. Frank Curtis, Playtime Todd.
Oh, Charlie Grant, Amalgamated Pub.
Well, glad to know you, Charlie. Just the little woman.
Oh, yeah. It's my wife, Jean. This is Frank,
Curtis. Hiya, Jean. Going to keep an eye on this old man, huh?
You said it.
You know anything about this resort we're going to?
Well, it's supposed to be the greatest.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I understand they got something for everyone. You know what I mean?
I know what he means.
Just can it, Jean.
All it has to have is wall-to-wall width. Give Charlie wall-to-wall women, and he wouldn't notice if his hair was on fire.
Oh, baby, you ain't going to be disappointed. You know what I hear? They tell me they have some way of finding out what your personal thing is, and they give it to you. I mean, for some people, it's booze or gambling or food or back rubs,
it
you know, whatever.
It goes much deeper than that, you know.
Huh?
I couldn't help hearing what you were saying. The real beauty of this place is you may indulge yourself utterly. Do you realize what I mean?
I don't know.
What does our hectic pace of life permit? The merest sip of lies, tantalizing pleasures, just a whiff of sensuality, and only a fleeting glance at the exotic, the bizarre, the forbidden. But our host is a connoisseur of quantity as well as quality.
You know the guy, then?
Quite intimately.
Well, that's great. Maybe you could tell us more about this thing.
All right, everybody, the buses are loading. All right, the buses are loading.
Well, look us up when we get to the place. My name's Curtis. I'm with Playtime Todd.
Yeah, I don't think Bascom heard you. He's gone in the crowd. What a fat slob. I don't like him.
Come on, the line's moving. Let's head for the bus.
This is more like it, huh, Charlie? Hey, Charlie boy, the water's wonderful. If it don't dilute your drink.
Yeah. Will you look at the chickies?
Hey, your wife wasn't putting it on then.
She's the most jealous wench in the world.
Oh, I can't imagine why.
Huh?
Okay, no offense, pal. You dig the chickies, I like the galloping dominoes. Here you can do your own thing.
You're a gambler, huh?
Compulsive.
You, bring your wife along?
Hey, who said anything about a wife?
No, I just thought...
No serious gambler should be married. It could distract you.
You're that serious about it?
Friend, I will bet on anything.
Really? On anything?
Okay. Your wife, what's her name, Jean?
Yeah.
All right, how long have you been married to her?
Forever and 3 weeks.
No, no, really. Has it been a long time?
Well, 6, 7 years, somewhere in there.
All right, you know her pretty well?
Like a limp, like a blister.
Okay, she's no beauty queen. But I mean, you can predict her reactions pretty good, huh? Like, suppose she suddenly stopped being jealous of you. Suppose she turned you loose to do anything you wanted to at this little dude ranch.
You're talking the impossible. She watches me like a hawk watches a mouse.
Oh? Well, friend, I got $100 that says in 24 hours, she won't even ask where you are.
You serious? Because I'll take that bet.
Have I got a bet?
You got a bet. You'll never get that bloodhound off my trail. Uh-uh. No way.
Oh, wait and see, Charlie, my boy. Wait and see.
Ooh, will you look at that white bikini over there?
Well, I can't understand this. Who owns this place anyway?
Who cares? The important thing is having a good time, right? Time and tide wait for a new man.
He's got atrocious taste, if you ask me.
Huh?
You don't put tan and red together. Look at those awful red drapes and tan walls. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Whoever he is, he needs a new decorator.
Hey, Jeannie. I don't know what's keeping your old man, but there's no law against having one dance, is there?
No. No, not at all.
Shame to waste this music.
Charlie's no dancer either. My Lord, the last time he took me dancing, he was almost thrown out of the place for pinching some...
we meet again. Good evening, my dear. Good evening to you, sir. Excuse me, I thought you two were both with someone else.
Oh, really? Who's keeping track?
Well said, sir. Well said indeed. Very funny. I'm afraid at our last meeting I failed to introduce myself. I, sir, am Withers Bascom.
Withers Bascom?
Well, I've heard of you. You're a famous lawyer or something, aren't you?
I certainly am. However, you need not genuflect, my dear. You will find this place is overflowing with the prominent. See the white-haired gentleman over there?
Yes.
Wait until he turns around.
Who is he?
You'll recognize him immediately.
He's turning around.
Oh, it's, I know that face. I swear I've seen him somewhere. Was it on TV?
Surely you jest. He's one of the top men in the syndicate.
Say, who really runs this operation, Bascom? You said you know him.
Intimately. The prince of a man. And one of the most modest, retiring people who ever lived. All this, all that you see here, he has provided for the pleasure of the haggard, world-wearied plodders who never dare to dream that such a fascinating...
Yeah, but who is he? What's his name?
He has such lovely taste in decorating.
Oh, you'll meet him. Lou drops in on his guests from time to time to provide anything that may be missing to make their stays perfect.
Oh, is he here tonight?
Of course. Oh, he'll come by your table sometime tonight and say hello. Oh, I must dash.
Hey, wait a minute. You say his name is Lou?
To his friends, yes. And he has very few enemies.
Well, we'll keep a lookout for him.
Now, I'm afraid I've interrupted your dance long enough. See you later, lovers.
Lovers?
Very perceptible cream puff.
Ugh, he makes my flesh crawl.
Not on your back.
What?
Well, it isn't crawling that I can feel. Am I holding you too close?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you dance like an angel.
Really, Mr. Curtis?
Hey, my name is Frank, remember?
Do you really have to go, Charlie?
Look, I'm already an hour late for the dance. I gotta show up pretty soon, or my wife will have the whole resort turned upside down.
Oh, Charlie, just as we were getting to know each other.
I know, honey. But say, if my friend Frank is right, in about 12 more hours, she won't care where I am.
Then we can go swimming together again.
Oh, you bet. And you just be sure to wear that white bikini. Listen, I'll see you later, okay?
Well, okay, Charlie.
I don't want this dance ever to end.
I tell you, I never felt this way before, Jean.
Neither did I. But what'll I tell Charlie?
Tell him nothing. The rotten guy is just a heel anyway, chasing after anything in skirts. You know, I don't know how he could be neglecting such a beautiful and loving woman.
Oh, Frank.
Oh, excuse me.
Huh?
Having a good time, folks.
Oh, you must be...
Hey, you're Lou, right?
Right. I hated to interrupt, but I wanted to welcome you to our little place and sort of make you feel at home. I don't want to butt in.
Oh, we were just asking someone about you a few minutes ago. The big fat... Well, he's an obese sort of man.
You must mean Withers Bascom. Yes, he and I are old friends.
Hey, tell me something, Lou. Is it true that you do research on all your guests so you know exactly how to please them?
Well, I see one of my trade secrets is leaked out, eh? Yes, we do try to fit the amusement to the guest. It's a little philosophy of mine. Life cheats us of so many pleasures. Why not have some place where you can do whatever you want? Well, that's our, you might say, format.
Oh, how does it work?
Well, take your own case, Jean. Lonely and lacking love. What do you have at the moment? An exciting and promising affair in the making. Am I right? And Frank, your passion is gambling. I can promise you that while you're here, you will do nothing but win, win, win.
Wow, that's incredible.
Hey, what about Charlie?
Eh?
My husband, Charlie. What about his passion?
Let me ask you this. Do you really care anymore?
Huh? No. No, I don't. I don't care if I never see Charlie Grant again as long as I live.
You see, folks, everyone wins.
Yep. Mine would include something like the Hee Haw Girls, I don't know.
I turned the latch on his door and opened it.
Ooh.
And opened it.
And opened it. Dave, listening to a little Lugosi.
He opened it.
Yep.
He opened it.
He did.
Can he close it? Or is he stuck?
I don't know. I think it's only a one-way door.
That's a one-way door, kids. A one-way door to radio.
Sat there for an hour pushing on a one-way door. It said pull.
You can enter any time you like, but you can never leave.
That's there right. You go.
Ooh. Poetical and stuff.
So this is kind of reminiscent of a fantasy island type motif.
Yep.
Yes, it is actually something akin to, a movie of the week that is on YouTube called Haunts of the Very Rich.
Ooh. Ah.
That turned from a fantasy island to a
nightmare.
Well, actually, it holds to the theme of this week's show. They're there for a retreat, a resort, a very chic place, until it turns into a nightmare.
You know, I'm not really impressed with the super rich. They only got one thing I don't. It's a lot of money, but, you know, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, other than that, you know, who are they? I mean, really, seriously.
CW, are you familiar with the Elizabeth Montgomery movie of the week where she goes to the home of her sister and it's a murder, scary, crazy, somebody's after her story?
Ooh. Ooh.
Yes, it was literally, it was a dark and stormy night sort of thing.
Yeah, it was. But it was good to see Elizabeth Montgomery not as the Bewitched character, but as, you know, somebody else. And how she
absolutely
portrayed that. It was pretty cool.
She was Lizzie Borden.
It was fun.
Yeah,
she was
Lizzie
Borden.
Borden, yeah.
Oddly actually related to Lizzie Borden. Weird.
Yes.
Like,
she
man.
Was distant. She was a distant relative of Lizzie Borden. If you see a picture of them side by side when she's dressed as Lizzie Borden, you can actually see a few physical nuances that are very similar. I mean, we're talking about a couple of generations here, but I was shook when I heard that. That is weird.
Yeah.
So anyone else related to a crazed ex-killer here in the audience tonight?
I'm related. I'm six times removed from Jack the Ripper. But,
I hardly know half of who my relatives even are.
But yeah.
Well,
but we knew that already. I think. It's
that'll
on my
slow
resume.
You down just a bit.
It's on my resume. It would, yeah. If you've got that thing going on, it's like you've got to, you have to do something. I have to kill people. Well, you know, if you go into the bank, you know, you might get, it's like that shiny button problem, you know.
I don't know. When you go to a hardware store, do you somehow gravitate towards the, look at the hatchets and the machetes and the sharp things. Wow.
They're so pretty.
I bought an axe once because I was going to chop down a tree or something, and I didn't get around to it. My roommate took the X back to the hardware store. I was going, where the heck's that X? It's like, take it back. It's like, what? How dare you? I paid for it. What are you doing? Took the X back. I was looking all over. Where the heck did I put the X? It's not in the bathroom. Where's the X? You know.
Somehow when I go to the hardware, I always gravitate towards the nuts. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Freshly steamed nuts. They kind of, you know, you get them in a bag. Those.
Salty,
yeah,
fragrant nuts.
If only I could bolt that down. I don't know why.
Yeah. This could go blue really quick, so we're going to, you know, keep it.
Yeah, we better.
Planners, team out related. Right?
Part two of Lost Resort coming your way from Christ.
Here we go.
This really strange story.
What if his name is Jack Zipper?
Hey, Charlie, over here by the roulette wheel.
Oh, hi, Frank. Hey, Frank, have you seen my wife? I don't want her to catch me with my my friend here. Oh, honey, this is Frank.
Hey, relax, Charlie. Just pay me the $100 you owe me, and you're home free.
What do you mean?
A little bet, remember? I bet you that in 24 hours, Jean wouldn't care where you are or who you're with, right?
Yeah, but what...
Hey, look, here she comes.
Oops, beat it, Chickie. I'll take you later.
You look like a little boy caught in the cookie jar, Charlie.
Hello, Jean. Jeannie, I'm sorry about last night. I never meant not to show up at the dance.
Oh, perfectly all right, Charlie. I know you were detained by some urgent business elsewhere. And Frank was gallant enough to show me a very good time.
Huh? Oh. Oh, I get it.
No, I don't think you do, Charlie.
See you around, Charlie. Oh, Frankie, you did tell him, didn't you?
Well, actually, I didn't get a chance to. Charlie...
No, I'll tell him. Charlie... You know how all these years of our marriage you've been flipping around with first this girl and then that one? Your secretary, your friend's secretary? Well, you won't have to slip around anymore.
Well, Gina,
you can do whatever you want with whomever you want. Because when we get back to Coos Bay, I'm going to file for divorce and marry Frank.
What?
Gene?
And effective right now. Today, this minute, you can go play fun and games with little Miss White Bikini or whoever you want. And you won't hear one peep out of me. Because I couldn't care less. Do you read me, Charlie?
Jeannie, my dear, we never discussed anything like getting married.
Oh, we discussed a lot of things like getting married. You just never got around to saying the words. But never mind, Frank. I accept. Do you still read me, Charlie? You're free.
I read you. I read you. I don't believe it, but I read you. Do you read her, Frank? You terrific old wife stealer? Remind me to punch you in the nose someday in a year or two.
Hey, listen, Charlie. I never intended... I mean, all I wanted was to win my bet. Here, you can have your $100 back.
Are you kidding? Keep the $100. And keep Jean. Oh, and if you need a best man...
Look me up. Charlie? Hey, Charlie.
Who is it?
It's Frank, Charlie.
Oh. Hi, Frank. Excuse me, I can't move.
Oh, sunburn?
Not exactly. I never get outside until about 3 p.m. Frank, I'm not the man I used to be. I can't take this nightlife much more. It's killing me.
But you're doing what you said you wanted.
I know. A different dolly every night, the dancing, the partying, the whole shot. But you know, I don't think I can last out the whole 2-week vacation. In fact, I'm pretty sure my liver has already gone back to Coos Bay. How's Jean?
She's attentive.
Yeah, I'll bet she's so flattered by your attention, she's kind of like a schoolgirl again, huh?
Oh, that's a good description, Charlie. She acts like some giddy teenager with a crush. Man, she's strange.
Well, yeah, but in her own way.
Hey, no offense.
Oh, no, of course not. Hey, how's it gambling?
Weird, Charlie, weird. This guy Lou has got it rigged somehow that I always win. Always. No matter what I'm playing, blackjack, faro, stud, even a wheel.
I cannot lose.
Yeah, I'll bet you're popular with the other players.
No, I haven't heard anyone really bad except the house. And they just keep laying out the dough. You know, we've been here 12 days, and I must have won $600,000. Man, there's no challenge to it anymore.
Gee, I really feel bad for you.
Here, you want some money? Take what you want. Yeah, take it all. There's more where that came from. Anyway, I'm going to try something new this afternoon. I'm going to try and lose.
Yeah?
Well, if I lose, there'll be that old thrill. You know, the old challenge to get in there and beat the odds. Right now, the odds are 100-1 in my favor.
You know something? I'm beginning to feel the same way. I mean, this place is crawling with beautiful girls. You know, I can walk up to any one of them, snap my fingers, they follow me just like I was some Italian movie star. You know, Frank, I'd like just for once some gal to tell me to drop dead. Then I'd really chase her.
Well, it's all part of the program here, you understand. I mean, everyone here gets his wish and keeps getting it over and over. See, that's the flaw. Like the fat guy.
Yeah. What's his name? Rodney Broadtail.
Withers Bascom.
Right.
Yeah, I found out he's queer for peanut butter. Now, he's had so much of this stuff, he gets sick when he sees a Peanuts comic strip.
Yeah, well, anyway, when you leave and go back home, you can take all that dough you want. I can go back and enjoy my freedom, I guess. Frank, does Gene ever mention me much anymore?
Huh? Well, actually, no. I sometimes wish she would, but she doesn't. All she does is hang around my neck like a big, soft albatross.
Are you talking about me?
Oh, hello, Bascom. No.
All I heard were the words big and soft. I am a changed man, gentlemen. Directly I get back home, I am going on a rigid diet. No more self-indulgence for Withers Bascom.
Oh, you too? Charlie and I were just trading disenchantments ourselves.
I can't find anything to eat that isn't fattening. Lou Chef must have been one of the old school when calories didn't count.
Yeah, I bet he majored in cholesterol.
So why don't you just quit eating for a couple days, Bascom?
It's the thing. I'm desperately hungry all the time. Ravenous.
Hey, look, now, what are we doing beefing to each other? What we ought to do is go find Big Lou and lay it on him.
Hey, you know, you're right.
What do you say, Bascom?
I think Lou would be agreeable.
Okay, come on then. You can tell him to stop meddling with your metabolism.
Yeah. Come on, Bascom.
I really love to, gentlemen, but I'm starving. I've got to have a bite to eat.
Come in. Well, Mr. Curtis and Mr. Grant, how are your passions today? Have you been able to satisfy your lust for a little libido, Mr. Grant? And Mr. Curtis, we have fresh shipments of currency on their way, all ready for you to acquire in our little games. Is there anything else now?
Yeah, you're darned right there is. Look, Lou, you got a great gimmick, finding out people's weaknesses and then letting them live like there's no tomorrow. But you know something? It gets kind of old after a while.
Yeah, what Charlie's saying is, you can get too much of a good thing.
Or a bad thing.
Huh?
At my resort, gentlemen, my guests can be as bad as they have always wanted to be, but cannot be outside. Society won't let you philander on your wife outside, Charlie. But here you have a veritable smorgasbord of pulchritude. Am I right?
It's killing me.
And Frank, on the outside, the laws of probability would never permit you to win as you win in here. But we have repealed such laws. It's a paradise, a garden of Eden.
Oh, no, you gotta change it, Lou. Let me lose now and then.
Let the girls leave me alone, Lou. Let my wife care about me again and be jealous.
But then you'd have it just as it was on the outside.
Yeah. Well, 2 weeks in this place has made me appreciate the outside. Look, I want Jean back again.
Charlie, take her. Take her with my blessings. She's already jealous of me now.
Excuse me, Lou. Pardon me. I have a message for Mr. Curtis from Jean. To quote her, where is that girl chasing good for nothing?
That's my old Jean.
Yeah, now my old Jean.
And now, gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, a new group of guests is arriving any minute, and
hey, wait a minute. Not so fast. What about our complaints?
Listen,
If I ran my business the way you run yours...
But I know how you ran your business, Frank. You go over your sales quotas by juggling orders and bribing clients. Marvelous! And Charlie, if your pulp company only knew that among the secretaries, you were considered a walking fringe benefit. But that's all over now, of course.
That's right. So help me, I'll never cheat playtime out of another dime.
If Gene will take me back, I'll be Mr. Stay-at-home.
And I shall set a permanent camp at Weight Watchers.
Afraid not, gentlemen. Afraid not. You're here because you wanted to be here.
And you know what it turned out to be, Big Lou? Your fancy paradise resort is just plain hell.
I knew you'd get it right eventually.
Lou, what are you saying?
I'm saying that your silly plane crashed into a mountain, and I got you.
What?
As permanent guests. Well, I've got to run. A bunch of Venezuelans are coming in from a sunken ferry boat.
But what about us?
Yes. Yes, Lou. Good heavens.
Don't ever let me hear you use that word again, you disgusting fat slob. Back to your gorging. Frank, the gaming tables are waiting. Charlie, don't disappoint the hot-eyed Amazon.
Lou, come back.
And don't call me Lou. The name is Lucifer.
The Last Resort was written and directed by yours truly, Jim French, and featured Jack Morton, John Amendola, Douglas Young, Pat French, Duncan McLean, and Jan Darcy.
The hell
join us
say?
Next time for another tale of suspense on Crisis.
What in the devil?
What the
devil you said?
Booka
booka.
The very last resort. Eerie House Radio proudly presents another Gar's Moral of the Story.
Sometimes the problem with getting what you asked for is getting what you asked for.
True.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
So in this story, one thing I noticed was this, and this is like, oh my gosh. So if you're in a bad marriage and you die and you're still married, in this context, you're in hell and you can't get divorced.
Oh gosh, that's awful.
Oh, see, yeah, that hit me.
Stuck
I was like,
with a first wife over and over and over. Looks like we lost CW there. She'll be back, I'm sure. Perhaps also, before we begin our final feature.
Bum, 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 bum.
Of lights out, everybody. Yep,
per Gar's guess, this will be the scariest one. Very scary.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All kinds of fun tonight on Eerie House.
Yep.
All kinds of fun.
More fun than humans should be allowed.
This one comes to us.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
It's devilish fun. Devilish fun, I say.
Yes.
Perfect.
So well, now I have new name for the devil. Big Lou.
Blog Talk Radio.
Big Lou.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
That's another new name for it as well. Blog Talk Radio made me do it.
They pelted us with rocks and garbage. Whatever that means.
No, I don't know if Blog Talk doesn't like my anonymous number or me hijacking the Wi-Fi off of a Domino's pizza.
Nobody say nothing.
That's the easy part. The hard part is running alongside the car that has the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
And no kidding. I tried
Thank
that with the city bus, but yeah, I tried that with the city bus a couple of times, but I just couldn't keep on the bumper.
I was running alongside and ran into a telephone pole. Wow,
there you go.
Boingy, boingy, boingy. It only took 6 months, Dave. It only took 6 months.
It only took 6 months, huh?
To do the jigsaw puzzle. No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's see,
did you ever get your door?
Slide.
Yes, I have my door. I finally have a door.
I was going to say, he's not answering. He must not got his door.
Oh, I got my door. My door. And they had to trim a few bucks off.
Yeah, that's good.
It must have cost them a fortune because twice they delivered a busted door.
Well, no, it goes back to the factory and they eat it, but and they reimburse the company, but still a pain in the butt ski.
Well, it's still those
costs
down the line.
Some companies around here, make their own doors, so you know, that way it just goes back to their own factory, and that's why you got the broken door again the second time. It was the same door.
Mm. It was the same door.
Oh, here, we got one finished. Let's send this one up.
No, it was broke differently.
Let's send him the same door. Let's see if he notices.
I didn't even get to see the second one. They called me like 5 minutes before they were due. Yeah, we're not coming. The door's broke. What?
Oh.
No, you decided to play calm and wait. And then twist their arm a little bit. And I got a few bucks off, so it was all good. We both walked away. Satisfied, I guess. Good times. Has nothing to do with being on vacation. And we got maybe just enough time for this lights out story, the scariest of the batch. It's called Oregon something or other.
Scary.
I'm afraid to guess the titles anymore. Oregon Vacation with Death? I don't know. Let's find
I don't know
out.
Why they didn't use the word grinder. Organ grinder, that'd be funny too, but no, they didn't.
The organ grinder of death. Do we got a broadcast
there, you go.
Later, don't we?
June 8th.
Hopefully Dave will be back in time.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody. Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. A man, a woman, and a small boy arrive in their new home. Happy day. And sometimes not so happy. First, a word from Frank Martin.
Frankly now, friends, are you asking yourself, why should I be losing weight and feel on edge and worn out? Other people feel good and have fun. Well, if more vitamin B1 and iron is all you need, cheer up. Ironized yeast supplies both. in pleasant-to-take tablet form at a cost of but a few pennies a day. With ironized yeast and its famous two-way help, great numbers of people who were short on these substances have soon regained glorious strength and energy. Today, these people can really enjoy life. Remember that name, ironized yeast tablets. And now, lights out, everybody.
$40, $50, $60, and $20 is $80, and $20 is $100. Perfectly correct. $100 rental for 2 months. And now there's the matter of a receipt, of course.
If you don't mind.
Oh, no, not at all, Mr. Cook. Do business in a business-like way is my motto. We're not a very large firm, but service supreme is our motto. Now, what did I do with my receipt book? So careless of me. In this pocket?
Oh, no. Any old piece of paper will do, really.
No. Here we are. Had it in this pocket all the time. I'll just sit down over there and write it out for you.
Well, darling.
Oh, Chuck, it's simply unbelievable.
$50 a month for a furnished Grand Central Palace like this one. Beautiful. There's something wrong in the woodpile someplace.
Your figures of speech are a little mixed, husband. But the fact remains that $100 is the price we're paying.
Yep. Service Supreme over there is making out the receipt with his good left hand, so I suppose it's true. Oh, say, where's the draft exemption?
Sleeping, there on the sofa.
Paid himself right at home pretty quickly, didn't he?
Takes after his papa.
Oh, now that's liable. I never curled up in a strange sofa without...
Yes, Service Supreme.
Here we are, folks. Here we are. Money receipted right and proper. I hope you'll be quite satisfied here. That's right.
Oh, I'm sure we will be. As you can see, our boy has made himself at home already.
Boy? Oh, yes. Cute little fellow. I do hope he'll be quite all right. Quite all right. Yes. Well, I must be getting along. Business, you know. Moving in at once, aren't you?
Well,
Yes. You told me you were. Yes. Well, good luck, and goodbye, Mr. Cook. Mr. Cook.
Goodbye.
Well, wasn't she in a hurry to get out?
Service Supreme until the moment the rent's paid, and then it's exit extraordinary. Well, I'd better go get the things in out of the car, huh? Say, I never thought we'd spend the summer in a mid-Victorian mansion, did you, dear? Here, I'm talking to you.
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry.
Why the pensive look? What are you thinking about?
That's what that man said.
What man? Oh, you mean Service Supreme?
Yes.
Well, what pearl of wisdom did he spout?
Remember when he looked at Billy sleeping there?
Sure.
He said, I do hope he'll be all right.
Yeah, so he did. So what?
The way he said it.
Oh. Say, you'll have to get some help in to clean up this place. Looks like my fraternity house used to after we threw a dance and...
Chuck!
What? What are you staring at? Oh.
What are you doing here?
Phew, fella, you startled us.
What are you doing here?
Oh, Chuck, he must be the caretaker the real estate man told us about.
Oh, yes.
You
sure.
Answer me.
Chuck, what's the matter with that man?
What? Look here, old man. You don't have to throw any cat fits. We rented this place from Service Supreme. What's his name, Mr. Hawkins, that real estate man up in town.
Rented?
Sure. Here's the receipt. $100 for the next 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah. Oh, I know it isn't much, but that's all the fellow wanted, so that's all he got. Of course, with all due respect to your caretaker. Oh, you are the caretaker, aren't you?
Yes, I.
Oh, good. Then I can speak freely. Well, as I was saying, the rental doesn't seem like much, but after all, big as it is, this is a pretty crummy old place.
Chuck.
Well, it is. And that real estate fella said there hadn't been anyone living here regularly for 20 years since those people, what's their name, all died. So I figured at the price...
Reynolds.
Huh? What'd you say? What'd you say?
I don't know. But he's frightened.
Reynolds, Mr. and Mrs. and Paula.
Oh, Reynolds. Yeah, they're the people that lived here, aren't they? Mr. Hoos's real estate said something about
it. Get out of here.
What?
Get out of here.
Chuck.
You hear me?
Now, wait a minute.
Get out.
Wait a minute.
Out.
You do not belong
Wait now.
Here.
We rented
Get
this
Get out
place,
of here.
Know.
No, no one belongs here.
Why?
No one. It is mine.
What do you...
Mine, 20 years,
now,
mine.
Stop waving your arms
Get out.
Old man. Stop
Get
it.
Get out. You've got
stop
to go.
Stop you.
All
wake
of
up,
Billy.
You wake up the dead.
Mine.
He's making
mine,
enough noise.
I tell you.
Now, look here, old man.
Out.
We...
My house, mine.
We've...
Nobody...
We've...
Get the...
We've...
Chuck, he's sick. Catch him.
Old man. Old man.
Chuck, he's not...
No. Just passed out, I guess. Wonder where some water is. We ought to...
He's coming, too.
Thought he'd popped a valve or something the way he was blown off. Give me a hand. We'll put him on that other sofa.
Take your hands off of me.
Huh?
Take your hands off
of
me.
Oh, now, look here, old man. We just want to help you.
Your hands off of me.
Oh, Chuck, help him get up.
No. No. I am all right. I will live longer than anybody. You will have to get out. You will have to get out.
Hey, now, wait a minute, old man. Can you imagine that old duck?
Running off like that.
We did get a bargain. A house and entertainment by a cracked nut, all for $50 a month.
But why was he so furious?
Don't ask me. I'm no psychiatrist. Oh, well, let's not let the old crackpot spoil things.
No.
I'll slip him a few bucks in the morning. He'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's wake up that snoozing son of ours and...
Chuck, look.
Huh?
He is awake.
Why, you little rascal, you. How long have you been sitting there watching, young man?
A long time. Where are we, Dad?
I'll tell you, Billy. We're in a great big beautiful house where you and I and Father are going to have a good time for the next 2 months. Isn't that good news?
Well, why don't you answer your mother, Billy? Aren't you glad we're going to be staying here in the country?
Dad?
Yes, son?
Please, let's get out of here. I'm awful scared.
I wonder if he's sleeping yet.
I'll go see.
Be very quiet, Chuck.
I will. Like the proverbial cherub.
Chuck, keep your voice down.
Oh, that heir of ours is sleeping so deeply, it'll take Sousa's band to wake him up.
Maybe we should have let him sleep with us this one night.
And have him grow up into a lily that falls over the side of his own shadow? Oh, no, Mrs. Cook. He sleeps in that room and likes it. Anyway, he's deep in sleep, so that's that. And here I go. Boy, stretching out feels good. You know... It's going to take at least 2 bands to wake me up tonight.
Lock all the doors?
Mm-hmm.
And the windows?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, now listen, honey.
Oh, please tell me.
I am telling you. This house is locked up tighter than a hoosegow. Shutters, doors, everything. I can tell you if that crazy old coot decides to come back to continue his oration, he'll have to use a hacksaw to get in.
I wish it was morning.
Hmm?
You could sort of straighten things out with him. After all, he is the caretaker.
Oh, forget it. We rented the place from the accredited agents, and the old boy doesn't like it. Well, that's just too bad. Let's go to sleep.
But, Chuck...
Oh, Ann.
But I want to know...
What?
Why should he have gotten so excited? It's been worrying me.
I don't know. Maybe because he thinks we'll mean more work.
20 years alone.
Huh? What'd you say?
I was just wondering why this place hadn't been rented or sold all these years.
I don't know.
Could it be...
What?
Nothing.
Say... Are you thinking of... Oh, that's nonsense.
Is it?
Sure. Just because a house is big and old and hasn't been lived in for a long time doesn't mean that... Oh, I tell you, that storybook stuff.
Chuck.
What?
Why did Billy say that he was frightened?
Oh, he's just a little kid.
Well, isn't it possible that young children are closer
To what?
To things that aren't of this world.
Ann Cook.
I was just thinking.
Well, stop thinking things like that. All the screwy ideas you get in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. Now, come on. Go to sleep before you give me the jitters, too. Save the ghost talk for tomorrow morning when the sun's shining. It's a little dark and dismal and weird right now to be talking about ghosts.
Chuck, listen.
Music.
Oh, Chuck.
It's not a radio.
Chuck, I'm frightened. I knew something was wrong here. I knew it. The old man was right. We shouldn't have come here.
Stop.
I knew it the minute I saw him. I want to go, Chuck. Please,
don't
I don't want
like
to
that.
Stay here. We shouldn't have come here.
Stop. It stopped. So quiet now.
Yes. Oh, Chuck. Did we really hear it?
I felt the floor vibrating like it does when the organ plays in church. Yeah.
Billy!
He's all right.
Billy.
Hello, Mom, Dad.
There's no one with him.
Billy. Billy, why are you laughing like that? Why, Billy?
Oh, because I've been having fun. Gosh, lots of fun.
Oh, a dream, son. You mean you've been having a funny dream?
Gosh, no. Not a dream. Isn't my dad funny, old lady?
Old lady? Who did you say that to, Billy?
Wants me to go downstairs with her to listen to the music.
Music?
But I told her I couldn't go. Not unless you said I could go. Can I, Mom? Can I go?
Go. Go where, Billy? Over where?
Downstairs, like I told you.
Billy, listen to me. Who are you talking about?
Son, answer your mother. Who are you talking about? Yes, and why are you staring at the foot of the bed? What are you looking at?
The old lady, Dad. Don't you see her sitting there?
Old lady?
Son.
Gosh. Can't you see her? Funny old lady. You can kind of see right through her.
Ladies and gentlemen, we leave our lights-out story of Oregon for just a moment now to look in on a cheerier scene. It's a sparkling, clean American kitchen. And the lady of the house is saying...
There. Dishes all done. House all cleaned up. Now I can do my victory garden before time to fix the children's lunch.
Where do you get your pep? I'm so worn out these days, it takes me all day just to do my housework. I'm losing weight. I can't eat properly. Even washing the dishes tires me out, and there's no help to be had.
No, we have to help ourselves these days. And that's what I did when I felt the way you do. I found out I needed more vitamin B1 and iron. So I took ironized yeast tablets. They supply both vitamin B1 and iron, you know.
But how could just those two things make so much difference?
That's easily explained. When you don't get enough vitamin B1 from your food, you may lose your appetite. Not eat enough to keep up your weight and strength. And when you don't get enough iron from what you eat, you may be weak and pale and all in.
And ironized yeast supplies both vitamin B1 and iron?
Right. So if you're short on these vital substances, don't wait. Go to your druggist this very night and say...
A bottle of ironized yeast tablets, please.
I'll just chew on a building girder. I'll get some iron that way.
Why didn't they just sell vitamin Y for yawn? I'll just give in to this exhaustion.
That's right. Try my medicine, NAP.
There
yes,
you go.
That's NAP.
That's some of my favorite medicine.
Feeling tired?
Oh.
No problem. Try Dale Kaye's NAP.
Yeah, back then they had pep pills. They were hopping pep pills back then too. You could just get you a
oh, is that
pep
what that
pill
is?
And feel all better. It's probably a caffeinated something.
I don't think so. I think that was prescription stuff.
Okay.
From the doc.
Back when they were selling cocaine. In the pet problem?
Well, I don't think that far back, but the same general idea.
Yeah.
Well, it took a while for them to illegalize other things. Let's see.
Yep.
LSD didn't become illegal until 1970-something or 60s,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Late 60s.
Yep.
So who knows how many Benadryne or Benzedrine that was put into Mrs. What's-Her-Name's Ovaltine that was legal. Yeah, that was legal.
There you go.
Black market Ovaltine, man.
You can take a trip without leaving the room in that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
My bags are packed.
Well, I heard some story a long time ago about the illegalization of hemp was due to rope company. They wanted to make their ropes out of cotton fiber, and the people that were using alternative hemps or something competitive thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they ruled out the hemp, thus making marijuana illegal. And I think
that two different plants. Yeah,
Hemp is very closely related to marijuana, but they are two different plants. It's akin to a tomato and deadly nightshade. They are very, very closely related. Well, one will really, really hurt you. The other one will just make you very full.
Yes. I like that concept.
But yeah, Gar's quite correct. It was just basically a business monopoly that they hemp is a better plant. It's more bug resistant. It's not as thirsty for water as cotton is. So that's why it's starting to make a comeback.
Oh, yeah. In clothing, rope, all kinds of stuff. But
everything.
What if they would have put out a BLN? A bacon, lettuce, and nightshade. Oh, buddy.
Here, honey, here's that BLN that you wanted. Oh, you want a BLT. Hello, honey. Honey,
mm-hmm.
honey, why are you turning blue down there? Hey, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the floor.
There you go. I like a story with a happy ending.
There you go.
I can't remember if this is
Well, you're not
going to
get one from Lights Out, Dale.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Good point.
I couldn't remember.
We got time. Okay, now we do.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get on to Lights Out. Oregon. Oregon.
And now back to tonight's Lights Out. Cold, dear?
A little.
Let me get this around you. Kind of a wind blowing in from someplace. We should have stayed upstairs, really.
No. I couldn't stay up in those horrible bedrooms. I couldn't.
All right. Now, don't get upset again. Here we three are, and here we stay. Until daylight.
Won't it ever get light again?
Oh, no, honey. Just a few more hours. Gosh, kids are wonderful.
What?
Billy, look at him there. Sleep as if nothing had happened.
He doesn't know that anything did.
Oh, lucky kid. Oh, you just wait until that old son starts doing this stuff. I'm going to turn this house upside down until I find out what...
Chuck. Wait.
Something?
I don't know. I thought I heard something sighing as if... That horrible music again.
It's here. An organ, right in this room.
But where? Where is it coming from? Where?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't stand it. I can't. Don't make them stop it.
Please,
organ playing. No one can
control yourself.
Stop it.
You'll
stop
wake up the boy, honey.
Mama.
Billy, he's up.
Mom, come to me, Mom.
Yes, Billy. Yes, Billy boy, yes. What is it?
That funny music. Where is it coming from, Mom? I don't know, but Mom...
It's all right, son. Stay here by me. That's the boy.
Won't it ever stop?
Won't daylight ever come?
I wish we wasn't here.
Chuck, it's getting darker.
It's all right. Just the dark before the dawn. You know.
Dad, it's getting light.
And the music dying away.
Light. But what a strange light. Dan, is there something wrong with my eyes?
No. I see it, too.
Do you? The wall over there. The light growing on it.
Oh, Chuck, I'm afraid.
We've got to get out of here. Quickly.
Yes.
No. Wait. That wall. The light's gone through it. Beyond it. There's a room there now. A room.
Yes. Yes, I see it, too. Oh, Chuck, what is this?
Mommy, what are you afraid of?
Anne, there's someone sitting in that room.
Yes.
It's a girl. I see her so clearly, and yet somehow it isn't real, is it?
Look at the way she's dressed. So strangely.
So clear, and yet it's more like a picture on the wall. No depth, the flatness of the picture.
Chuck, look. There's a man coming into that terrible light.
By George, it's he.
What?
Don't you recognize him, the old caretaker?
Yes.
But now he isn't so old.
Oh, get me out of
no,
here.
No, wait. We don't dare go. Not yet. Pictures on the wall, and yet not pictures.
He's going closer to her.
Hit.
Hello, Paula.
He's talking.
Oh,
and yet he hasn't substance, flesh. I know he hasn't.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Elderson.
Yeah,
pictures
Paula.
Talking as
I
if...
To talk
am I
you.
Insane?
No, Mr. Elderson. Mother doesn't like to have me talk with you.
Because I am a gardener.
Oh, Chuck, Billy.
Don't talk.
Whatever is the reason, Mr. Elderson, you shouldn't come in here when Mother's away.
Blast your mother.
Mr. Elderson.
I say blast her. I've got nothing, so I'm not good enough.
Please go.
Your papa, before he died, promised me money, plenty money for all I did for him.
I'm sorry he didn't
your
leave.
Your mother.
It wasn't in the will. How could she give it to
your
you?
Papa, Mr. Reynolds, he promised me.
Reynolds, they're the people that own this place.
But Mr. Hawkins said they'd all been dead for 20 years.
You drive me out too, eh?
No, please.
If I had the money your papa promised me, you wouldn't tell me to go. Maybe you would love me.
Don't. Please.
But you could love me anyway, Father Reynolds. I make you love me. Make you love me.
Daddy, what is it?
Moving
you
pictures? You frighten me.
The lights fading out.
And they're going with it.
Oh, what are we seeing, Chuck? What?
Wait. The light. It's coming back.
Don't look, Billy boy. Here, put your head against Mother.
Anne, look. Killed her.
Oh, Chuck.
Standing over her. That horrible look on his face.
Chuck, another woman's coming in.
The mother.
He's turning toward her. Chuck, he's going to kill her, too.
I can't move.
I want to scream. I can't. Do something, Chuck. He's killing the mother. Killing her.
What can I do? I can't move. Gone. The light goes, and they go with it.
But we saw him kill them both, mother and daughter.
Billy didn't see.
No. He buried his head against me so tightly that... Why, Chuck?
What's the matter?
He's asleep.
Asleep?
Yes. So quietly against me. It's as if someone out there didn't want him to see that horror. Only you and I. Oh, Chuck, what was it that we saw? What?
Whatever it was, we're getting out of here. Quick, give me the boy.
Wait.
Who the...
The old man, the one we just saw kill...
The one you just saw, what?
You killed them. How? Why, I don't quite understand.
But we saw you kill them, mother and daughter.
Oh,
was it real?
Yes, I killed them both. Yes, I killed them. And why not? The young one gave me no love. The old one no money. He promised me. He promised me, but when he died, they gave me nothing. Killed them, yes. Yes, killed them with my own hands. I killed them.
Shock the police.
Yes,
no.
I'm going
to... No police. There were no police then. There will be no police now.
But murder. Two women.
They know. I know. And now you know. No one else will ever...
What do you mean?
You hear? They understand.
That horrible organ music.
Their music. Night after night since I killed them. Now you know why I didn't want you here. Now you know why I must kill you.
Kill?
That gun!
Yes, with the gun. Them 20 years ago with my hands. You with this gun.
You crazy!
No, shot, you'll kill you! Look out!
Kill you all!
I'm all right. Dead. I had my hand on the gun, and then it seemed to turn in my hand toward him. As if someone...
I saw.
Billy, is he...
Still sleeping.
Sleeping. Through all that.
Blessed sleep.
The wall. It's falling out. The wall. There's the organ. The organ that was playing. And women. Two women sitting at the keyboard.
No, no, Chuck. Don't go closer.
Oh, no.
Chuck, what is it?
No. I was wrong, Anne.
Wrong?
Not women. Not anymore. Two skeletons and dresses.
Oh.
I think I know now. He killed them 20 years ago. And then walled up their bodies in there with the organ.
But what we saw. The music. How could it...
Anne, look.
They're crumbling.
Bones into dust. He's dead. Now they can have peace.
Well, Mr. Obler?
Well, Mr. Martin? if you want a rational explanation of the return of the dead, don't expect it from me. I can see the stories... I write them. But if you want facts, don't expect them from me tonight. I suggest the Encyclopedia Britannica or, a visit to that old lady around the corner who says she talks with ghosts. As to whether the dead can return, once again I say we don't know and perhaps it's better that we don't. Which reminds me of the future and reminds me of next week. Have you ever heard of alter ego, Frank?
Well, I don't know what ego is, all right, but what's the alter?
The answer to that, after you've had your say.
Friends, if more vitamin B1 and iron is all you need to help you look and feel and act your best, get ironized yeast tablets. Now, there are cases where a rundown condition may be due to other causes. If you have any doubt, by all means consult a physician. But if your trouble is simply vitamin B1 and iron deficiency, remember... Ironized yeast has been so successful in so many such cases that it's sold on this no-risk, money-back basis. If you don't begin to eat better, to look and feel much stronger, peppier, and more alive, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by Ironized Yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. Now, Mr. Obler, What's that about alter ego? Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that the play you did a number of years ago with Betty Davis, which caused such a furor?
Right. Good memory, Frank. That was a long time ago, and so many of my friends here in Hollywood, including the illustrious Betty D. herself, have asked me to do it again that we're going to do it once more. Alter Ego, the story of a girl's other amazing self. But that's next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Oboler's eerie story, Alter Ego. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. But remember, there's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet. The beginning of the white shoe season, but it's never too soon to start caring for your white shoes to keep them in good wearing condition. So clean your shoes with Energene Shoe White. It's made with the very whitest pigment obtainable, only the very whitest. It spreads over shoes easily, dries evenly, helps keep your shoes looking their whitest and best longer. So buy Energene Shoe White.
There you go. Get yours now. Does anyone wear white shoes anymore, unless you're in showbiz?
I wear white
shoes. I think the only time I ever did was in the military.
Oh, yeah. Dress shoes. Dress white.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Sneakers. People still wear sneakers for the most part, but that's the only kind of white shoes I see.
I was thinking more hard shoes. Not so much.
Oh, wedding. Well, bride. Still wear them.
Oh, right. Yeah, for those women cast in white. Did Frankenstein wear white? I don't know.
The Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yes. Bride of Frankenstein.
She was in so many different parts. How would you know if she should wear white or not? I don't know.
I hear that ironized yeast makes a really hard pie crust. You know?
Yes.
That's what I heard.
Speaking of
really
pie crust. Any minute now. There it goes.
Pie crust
toast
is done.
Ready.
All right. It's
toast
still
ready.
Still some vacation time left. Tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern, Theater 5, My Other Self, and Rogues Gallery, Blood on the Sand. Ooh. Very scary.
Okay. Sounds like a fun vacation.
Yeah.
You guys are talking
about 8 o'clock after our show. Wonder what happens at 8 o'clock right after our show.
Blood on the Sand, there's a shark on the beach. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah. Shark on the beach? Horrible Horror, starring Guard of the Gold, Blay Blay. Okay.
Oh, yes. Great at 8, right after Elias Radio.
Yeah. There was also a moral we could get into.
Oh, yeah, there was a moral. We forgot the moral.
We could squeeze it in real fast. Wait, I've screwed my backside off.
I'm running down to the other side of the room where... There we go.
Erie House Radio has just enough time for Gar's moral of the story. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
When you're in, check the clauses. You might have to pay extra for hauntings. There you go.
Show starts in 1 minute.
Woohoo! What? We gotta do it
now again. That wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was.
Show
it was
starts
disgusting.
In 2 minutes. Show starts
you guys
in 3 minutes.
You guys were talking about keeping up with the Domino's pizza guy. And I was like,
the
pizza.
Castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
It's too dark.
Watch that, Vincent.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
You dig it.
Ah, that Vincent. He's one hep cat.
Good timing, Dale.
Hep cat.
Good timing, Dale.
I've done good one time.
Oh, man.
This time.
What happened? Your toes get burned?
No, my arm is giving out. I'm trying to. My toast is pizza.
Oh, your toast is pizza.
My toast is pizza. It's a custom-made barbecue chicken, onions, and cheese. That's a pizza.
Wow, sounds tasty except for that chicken.
Mm-hmm. All right, a done deal. So
yeah, it's kind of hard to barbecue cheese, though.
It is. It is.
And Lord knows we've tried.
Got to keep flipping it. Did I turn the stove off? I did. Okay, we're good. All right.
No, it's not. You've never had my home cooking.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Do you like your own cooking?
I like my cooking just fine. I just, that's why I don't do it. I eat out.
Oh, I cook all the time. I got trained in several restaurants in my youth. Cooking is fun.
Oh, I was going to say, did the military also, you know, train you to do that sort of thing too?
Oh, I didn't do. I wish I had experienced cooking in the military. It would have been cool because they actually do have chefs and stuff, so it would have been neat. But no.
Yeah, I know a lot of. No, because I know a lot of people do join up in the military to get, you know, some chef experience because they want to be real full-fledged chefs. So I'm of the opinion if you can feed a bunch of screaming, mean, scratching, hard-fighting, hard, everything else people and
wood,
they
chewing,
not have them
bullet,
come at
fighting.
You. Hard-fighting,
yeah.
Hard everything. Whatever, but
finger sniffing.
Fingers
sniffing. Oh,
hello. And that's
wow.
Just and that's just the nurses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh.
Well, I had too much Ovaltine last night.
Uh oh, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Ovaltine.
I don't know what would happen if you had too much Ovaltine. I don't, how do you have too much Ovaltine?
I don't know.
I
want
couldn't
my
take
maple.
Another drop.
I just want my maple.
You want your maple?
I want my maple.
Napalm?
Maple.
Made with that brand new ingredient, napalm.
Yummy.
I thought it was made
now
with cinnamon
sugar. Now made
cheer
with asbestos.
Brown
yeah.
sugar.
Delicious.
Made with brown sugar. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. With
brown
that
sugar.
Extra sweetener, lead.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, better than paint flakes. That's right.
Paint flakes. From Kellogg's. That was one crazy man. The Kellogg guy?
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
What I heard about him, that was kind of demented.
There's a loony toony. Oh, my.
Yeah. But, you know, we got
if
a good breakfast cereal out of it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, you should see that movie with Sir Anthony Hopkins and John Cusack, The Road to Wellville.
Yeah. I think
yeah.
that's about him, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is. There was a...
There's a woman in that, too, but I can't remember her name.
Oh, yeah.
Is Jamie Lee Curtis?
There is... No, not Jamie Lee Curtis. You're just Jessica... No, Jennifer Jason Leigh is the person you're speaking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There
Jennifer
you go.
Jason Leigh.
Yeah.
Or
is she
it
takes
Bridget,
a milk bath.
Either her or Bridget Fonda. I always get those two mixed up. I think it might be Bridget Fonda.
Yeah.
I think it's Bridget Fonda.
Yeah,
it's Bridget Fonda.
Is this an older film?
I don't know. Someone takes a bath and a cup of milk. I don't know why. But
yeah. Well, milk baths were thought to be very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. There were other things they did that were therapeutic that were not therapeutic at all. It was like,
they were trying out every newfangled gadget, you know. They used electricity in places you really shouldn't use electricity.
Certain places on your body are not supposed to glow in the dark.
The hoarding, the pain. I mean, a lot of it was good stuff. I mean, watch your nutrition, you know, certain foods were good and whatnot, exercise, fresh air, but a lot of the other stuff was really we're
cuckoo
out
for
there.
Cocoa Puffs, huh?
they were behind closed doors, weird stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder how Mr. Kellogg feels now that there's sugar smacks and frosted flakes with extra sugar and extra frosting sugar.
There should be one. It's called
diabetes
coated flakes. Sugar. Diabetes flakes.
There you go. Gentlemen, with that,
I must
be away.
Sugar frosted sugar flakes. Sugar frosted.
Okay, CW, blah.
Sugar frosted sugar.
Blah, blah.
Flake encrusted sugar. There you go.
Flake encrusted sugar with sugar crystals. And in every box, you get a free pack of sugar cubes.
We like
sugar.
To call it sugar chunks. We like to call it sugar chunks.
Sugar clots.
The monster cereal dropped already. It's what, July? No, I don't even know what month it is. Is it June?
Yeah, it's still July.
It's July. The
monster cereals are out? Wow.
Yeah. For Halloween, they're already. Yeah.
I might have to get some Count Chocula.
Are you kidding?
For the heck of it.
I always see Frankenberry and Count Chocula, but and occasionally I'll see Blueberry. But what's the other one with the werewolf on it?
There's Yummy Mummy, and then there's Fruit Brute.
Fruit Brute.
And I think
Fruit Brute, that's it.
Fruit Brute.
Yummy,
yeah, Fruit
yummy.
Brute's out. If you go to the Sam's Club or something like that, your big box store, they have all of them in one box. So you get a box of all four of them, Fruit Brute, the Blueberry, Frankenberry, and Count Chocula, all in one box. And then, so you're 19 pounds of sugar right there.
Mm.
All right.
Steady
as they go, Captain. Full speed ahead. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Captain, we need more ballast. We need more ballast. Quickly, pull out the Count Chocula. There's your ballast.
Yeah, exactly.
19 pounds.
There you go. Yeah, 19 pounds.
Okay, guys, I really got to get going. I got to scoot. So.
Okay, take care. Blah, blah.
Thank you, blah, blah.
You know what you got to do when you leave here.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know it's in the contract. Mr. Durante, if you could be so kind to join us on the stage, please.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo.
Yes, it was all about me.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always, obediently yours.